Gunesh Cheesh for being here with us today. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. One way or another, Sarah Lewis has something cooking. It is part of her job with the Cooperative Extension Service. She's an associate professor of health, home, family, and community development. And we always like to check in with Sarah at the start of each month to find out what kind of courses she's being offered. So, Sarah, we've talked to you quite a bit lately, and most recently, and I don't know how you juggle all these balls and keep them in the air, but you're, in addition to doing your other coursework, you are going to be teaching some food preservation classes in the Juno Community Schools program. And some of those sound really cool. You want to recap those for us?
Sure. I know. So many classes, right, Rhonda? Especially as we are heading into our harvest season. So it is going to arrive. At some point, we will be out there fishing and gathering and doing all kinds of stuff. So getting ready is a super good idea. So yes, just to let folks know, if you haven't heard yet, the community schools classes that I'm going to be offering are in April. April 2nd, I'm going to be doing canning berries and fruit, which is a water bath canning class. April 9th, I'm going to be doing a canning soups and stews class, which is a pressure canning class. And I want to talk a little more about that in just a second. And then on the 16th, I'm doing three different classes in one day. You would register for them separately. But one of them is Naturally Clean Home, where I will give recipes and we will actually make some cleaners out of ingredients that you likely already have in your home that are effective, chemically correct, and useful cleaners. Then I'm going to be teaching a class on the 16th as well called Starting a Cottage Foods Business. For folks who maybe you've got jams and jellies or pickles, or you've been thinking about starting, you're a food entrepreneur and you want to see what some of the options are to get started. I'm going to be teaching that class on the 16th. And then also making fresh cheese will be on the 16th. That one is full. So we have actually added an online version of that a little bit later in the month. I'll mention that. On the 23rd, I'll be doing what is always a popular one, pickling and fermenting vegetables. So that's vinegar pickling as well as salt pickling, basically, sauerkraut and things like that. And then that online cheese class we're going to be doing on April 30th, I believe. So if you go on to the Community Schools website, you can find all these classes and you can get information on how to register for them. And these are all going to be in person at JD High in their teaching kitchen. And what's great about that kitchen is there's six mini kitchens. And so we're going to have kitchen bubbles. So two people per kitchen. So if you want to sign up with a friend, you get your own little kitchen and you can have fun getting cooking.
Wow, what a great opportunity. And I could see why those would be filling up fast. But then again, there are your regular courses that you teach. and it sounds like you've got another round of food preservation classes. Before we kind of go into what those are offering, do you ever get tired of teaching these? I mean, because you do them so often.
Well, you know, early on when I've been doing with this for Accenture about eight, almost 9 years now. And so early on, I was developing classes and I'm like, oh, I'll develop this class and it'll just stay the same all the time. I learned really quickly that what keeps it exciting for me is to always be doing different recipes and coming up with different themes and paying attention to what's going on in the world, you know. So, you know, when COVID came around, I, you know, changed some of my classes and changed some of the recipes and changed how I taught, obviously. So there's enough, you know, food is a really big topic and there's cultural aspects to it. There's environmental. There's all kinds of different ways that you can engage with food. And I get the freedom to come up with all kinds of classes depending on, you know, what's going on both in my head and what's also going on in the world.
Do you ever experiment? Have you got some works in progress that you could tell us about?
I do. Sometimes I actually experiment in my classes. I shouldn't let you guys know that. But if you come to my classes, usually there's at least one recipe that I've never done before, and you're going to get to try it out, and we'll see if it works. And that's actually really good to do, because sometimes me just experimenting on my own, it's not going to give me as good an idea of, how whether it's going to succeed or fail or whatever, as when I have like six different groups cooking that same recipe.
So, what have you got in store for us this month? Because usually your classes are pretty diverse. They have a lot of different subject areas, so I'm sure that's the case this time.
Right. Well, actually, what I wanted to sort of touch on most was pressure canning. So I don't actually have any classes other than those community schools ones that are coming up in April, but I wanted to make sure that people know about some of the things that I do year round that you don't have to register for, that you can just call me or email me about over the course of the year. So if you're interested in any aspect of food preservation or food entrepreneurship, really only 10% of my time, maybe close to 20, 10 to 20% of my time is actually spent teaching actively, creating classes that I'm going to teach to a group. The rest of the time, I am basically answering hotline questions, to a certain extent, and emails, people who have are looking for specific recipes, or they want to learn how to can, how do they start, or they need to get their canner, their pressure canner dial gauge tested. So I do a lot of things throughout the year that you can just contact me about without registering or paying for a class. And so I wanted to let people know that I'm out there. And one of the things that is actually a USDA program is folks who do pressure canning, you need to get your dial gauge tested. If you have a dial gauge on your pressure canner, it needs to be tested annually, because they over time they may become inaccurate. And to know that you are safely pressure canning your fish and your other low acid foods, you have to know that your pressure canner is actually getting them to the correct temperature. So when I talk about testing those dial gauges that they might become inaccurate, I'm not talking, I want to be very clear, I'm not talking about like exploding canners or anything like that. Pressure canners nowadays are UL listed. They are tested. They have features that make them safe, just like, your oven or your toaster or whatever. They are safe. When I'm talking about getting the canner dial gauge tested, that's about making sure that you know what temperature it is inside your canner so that you know that you're processing your fish or your venison at the appropriate temperature so that it's safe. And so I test those all year. Whenever anybody needs one of those dial gauges tested, we do that at my office.
So what happens? What's the potential problems that could be caused if your canning and your gauge is not accurate?
Yes, excellent question. So the very basic 101 is that we have high acid foods and low acid foods. So naturally high acid foods are berries and lots of different fruit. And then you've got high acid foods that you make, like pickles or sauerkraut. So those are high acid foods. And the microorganisms that might move into those products when you put them in a jar is just yeasts and molds. So they'll either mold or they'll ferment. We're not worried about dangerous bacteria with high acid foods. So that's one category. The other category is low acid foods. And all meat, all fish, and almost all vegetables, whether they are from the land or from the sea, are naturally low acid. And when you put low acid foods into a jar to preserve them, you're creating a low oxygen environment in that jar. And low acid foods can harbor bacteria as opposed to just yeast and molds, but they can harbor bacteria. And there are some bacteria that are pretty dangerous for us. But then when you go ahead and put the low acid food into a jar, into a low oxygen environment, the specific bacteria that we're very concerned about is Clostridium botulinum. And that's the bacteria that creates the botulism toxin, which is a neurotoxin. So, and we're very aware of it in Alaska. Cooperative Extension has been teaching people about it for about 100 years now in Alaska. And pressure canning is required for canning low acid foods because although some bacteria, most bacteria can be killed at boiling water temperatures, this botulism spores, the spores of the Clostridium botulinum require 240 degrees to be killed. And you can't get above boiling water temperature. So boiling water is 212. You can't get above those temperatures unless you add pressure. So it's a whole science thing. It's a whole physics thing. You have to add pressure to make your water and the steam actually get to 240 degrees. And you have to know that it reaches 240 degrees. So those dial gauges are what let you know that your pressure canner has reached the correct pressure to actually get to 240 degrees. So if your dial gauge is incorrect, so if it's one, you know, even just 1 pound or 2 pounds off, you could actually be canning your fish at too low a temperature. You might actually be canning it at like 220 or 230, and it has to be at 240. So those dial gauges need to be tested once a year against a master gauge that I have in my office, just to make sure that they're reading accurately. And it's super easy. It's 5 minutes. It's a free program. And that just helps ensure that you are processing your low acid foods at the right pressure.
So how do we connect with you and your pressure gauge tester?
Good question. In these COVID times, our office is still closed, but we are getting super close to opening up again. So my phone number is 907-523-3280, extension 1. That's one way. The best way is actually by email, Sarah, S-A-R-A-H, dot Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, at alaska.edu. That's actually the best way because right now we need to schedule to meet at my office. But hopefully within the next couple months, you might be able to just come on by. Usually it's a good idea to call first or email first. But when the office is open, you can come on by and we can do that.
Well, that's really good to know that there is a way to test pressure gauges because periodically, once every 2 years or so, we do have cases of botulism, but often it has to do with people harvesting fish and trying to preserve them in the traditional way, but maybe entering a plastic bag in the mix, which was not traditional, and you get botulism.
Right.
You know, we've had a lot of cases like that, and it can be deadly.
It can. Yeah. So what you're talking about there is fermented fish products, which are, you know, incredible local traditional foods that unfortunately, you know, we started using some modern materials, like you said, plastic. And what that did is it created a low oxygen environment. So people were fermenting their fish products in plastic, which then unfortunately, became a risk for Clostridium botulinum. And so, yeah, when you're fermenting fish products like ink and kak, those are two fish products in Southeast Alaska, you want to use traditional methods for that. You don't want to use plastic containers or do it inside. You really want to follow the tried and true traditional methods. And so that's, you know, I use that sometimes as an example of, you know, when we started canning, putting things in jars and then pasteurizing them, which is what we're doing in the canner, we're pasteurizing them. That is, you know, we're following a very specific science-based process using a traditional food, but preserving it in a very modern way. It didn't really actually start to happen until the 1900s. And so there are so many terrific ways to preserve our wild foods in Southeast. And there's just a few little little but very important things you need to know when you're doing that.
Yeah, and it's not like we, you know, do this as much as we used to, so we don't always have people around us that can say, hey, you need to watch out for this or don't try that. The last time you visited with us, you were talking about your Southeast tour where you take your boat and you visit communities in Southeast Alaska, and you were soliciting ideas from people. And any headway on that? Are you hearing from people? Are some good ideas hatching about what you might do in those communities?
Yes. Yeah. No, I've had some pretty good response, and my contacts in the communities have been really helpful. Sort of, you know, they have their finger on the pulse of their community, so I make sure to touch base with folks. And so I'm going to be doing in May, I'm going to be going to Wrangell, Petersburg, and Cake. And I'll be doing food preservation classes in all those locations, but also I'll be doing food entrepreneurship classes. So a lot of folks, like I said, you know, maybe you have a jam or a jelly, or even if you want to go, you know, further than that to different types of small food entrepreneurship, and you're not necessarily putting things into jars, but we can talk about your ideas. And so, so that's what I'm going to be doing in May and June, and I'll tell you more about that in the future when we get dates and stuff like that. Maybe in April, I'll talk about that. And then I'm going to be doing some more later in the summer as well. So that's coming together pretty nicely. So I'm looking forward to that.
So paint a picture for me. I want to visualize this. So you are coming into these communities in your own personal family boat. So what? Yes. Give me a picture of what that's like.
Yeah. Oh, it's I'm kind of a dog and pony show. I'm like the circus coming to town. So we have a 42-foot cruising trawler, and we come on into your community and we dock, and then I cart up. Depending on where we're at with COVID, I may have tents because we might have to, you know, do the classes outside, but usually it's associated with an indoor kitchen, typically at the school or at a community center. Like in Cake, I will typically teach at the Nest Teen Center because they've got a great kitchen and teaching space there. And I bring my canners, and I bring jars, and I bring recipes, and we work together, you know, what the different types of canning classes or fermenting classes or what it may be. And I actually transport myself around a lot by bike. So I'll actually have my, you know, I have a power assist bike, and my family helps me, and we bring the stuff to wherever I'm going to be teaching. And we have a really, really good time. It's a good community event. People of all experience levels can join the classes, because if you're brand new at it, there's always, of course, you know, you want to get started. That's a great place to get started. But even if you're an experienced person in the community, getting tips on how to teach other people is another thing that I really like to do to build up that ability for local folks to share information about safe food preservation methods.
So I bet you make a lot of friends too in the process.
I do. It's yeah. I mean, it's Southeast Alaska, and people, when they want, you know, classes to cook, I mean, it's just super fun.
All righty. Well, just before we go, you want to recap anything?
Sarah.lewis@alaska.edu. That's Sarah with an H. Send me an email if you want to get your dial gauge tested before you are ready to can. Be ready for this season. And if you just want, you know, a 101 on how to do canning and get started, you can call me about that anytime or email me about that. And I can give you a mini lesson any time of the year.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Sarah Lewis with the Cooperative Extension Service. And we'll check in with you at the beginning of next month to see what you have
awesome
on tap.
So. Bon appétit, Rhonda.
Yes. Bon appétit. Enjoy the sunshine today.
Thank you. You as well.